Blog Talk Radio. Okay, hold on a second here. Just give me a second. Okay. Just give me a second here, and we'll get it going. Okay, here we go.
If you'd open your eyes, then maybe you'd see what's at stake. You make a lot of money, you're just missing the mission. You pretty much got everything that you could ever imagine. But you feel like even though you got everything you want, you got nothing for what you're using. You just talk going backwards, you running into something. When you looking for something that is for real, all you know is that you just gotta have it. What you doing, really been thinking that you're looking you now. And the problem is that you don't know what you have. But you put every time you try, I know what you're hoping to want. And maybe you don't have to feel the chance. what's going on in your head. But eventually you'll have to deal with the things that you talk about, yeah. But I guess until then we're lost.
We can measure. Oh, 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 oh.
Service. Okay, we're going to go now get into the message. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. See, Lord God, help us. This is going to be a prayer. This ain't opening prayer. See, Lord God, help us who can hear your word. Help us to come with all our hearts to the Savior, who leads us into his arms, Lord. Hear our pleading and let our countenance shine over the world, Lord. Send a new age and a new salvation to the earth, Lord, to the glory of your name, Lord. Show us that we have learned about you in the truth and that we may live in the truth and find the way through to heaven, Lord, and to the glory of your name, Lord. Hear us, our Lord God. Often it seems that you are far away, but we know that our voices still reach you, and that those roused by your Holy Spirit will become your workers for the Lord Jesus. Send your Spirit soon, O Lord God. Send the Comforter who leads us into all light and truth. We entrust ourselves and our daily lives to you. Lord, we want to be faithful, Lord. Help us to be your children, Lord, to remember in every step that we belong to you, Lord God. No matter how dark it is on earth, help us remember that we are with you, your children, in eternity. We pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, now the prophet brings us another 4 points to meditate on. The first point is my worshipers, and from the last chapter we saw how important roles worship play in bringing down the glory of God. We read about how the worship team in one accord filled the temple with the glory of God. Let me delve deeper into what worship is. Do you want to learn more? Worship is an act of an action. Let me explain. Worship in Hebrew and Greek languages is as follows. Hebrew is to bow down. Okay, Hebrew to prostrate oneself and praying superior homage to God. Greek is to kiss the hand towards one in token of reverence. Greek, the Persian is to fall upon the knees and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. And also in Greek, in the New Testament, by kneeling or prostration to do homage to one or make obeisance, whether in order to express respect or to make a supplication. So as you can see, these are all facts of action. A true worshiper will demonstrate his or her worship through humbleness of their heart. And with that action, this is why it's important to participate in worship. So clap your hands, raise your hands, kneel, and bow your heart to the great Comforter of our souls. My personal view of worship is, for me, worship is very personal, and I cannot live without it daily. Worship, what is worship? But stepping into a very presence of physical and tangible presence and the glory of the Lord. And in this drawing to your right, okay, you can see that his wings have provided us a safe haven under the shadows of the wings Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's Psalms chapter 91, verse 1. In his presence, I find tremendous power, and I love the outpouring of his Holy Spirit with evidence and visions, dreams, and even speaking in tongues. Each and every drawing I have done was first birthed in worship. Worship is a place where the broken heart can feel find real healing. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. Worship is a place where I can go to get inside of his presence. Once I am in his presence, he brings me peace on the inside of me, a troubled believer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So own to choose to step into his glorious presence where ordinary men are transformed into extraordinary men of the living God. I physically surrender unto his greatness and his perfect will, so I will raise my hands as a physical act of surrender. Story time again. In the midst of worship, the Lord whispered into my ear, "Built the snake on the pole in my garage. I found different time items and made the snake on the pole preaching prop. Over the years, I have used a teaching prop to help people space the very thing which has bitten them. All this has come through personal worship time with the Lord. Well, step into the presence of God, and you can experience healing, love, and peace. You can hear His voice, feel His presence, and you can also obtain your marching orders. Second point in our text in the word daughter, and this reminds us that it is all about relationship with God. He is our new Heavenly Father who is perfect in His love for us. But many people today have no relationship with their earthly dads, and in many cases, they might not even know who their biological dads are. So story time again. Teaching grades 6 through 8 in San Antonio, Texas, a young girl was brought into my overcrowded classroom. The counselor said, "I know you are crowded with students, but I need you to do your thing with her." I responded, "What's my thing?" He smiled excited in my classroom. The young girl was hard, and I was not sure when she was a girl. One day, she opened her heart and began to tell me a story. She had lived a very hard life. No dad, brother in prison. Mom was an alcoholic. One day, she came to school, and she had found an old photo of a man, and she wondered if this was her dad. All of it did was introduce her to her Father God, whom she started calling him Papa. This started a relationship with the Father God. The third point is the word dispersed one. God knows where we are at all times. Father God never loses us. It is us who have to look up and find Him. It is sin which drives us away from God. The enemy of our soul tries to drive us to scatter us into the wilderness to become prey. Listen to Jesus as He explains the plot of the enemy. But a harrowing, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling, flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So as you can see, the plan of the enemy is to scatter us away from Jesus. This is why it is utmost importance we stay in the local church. Scattering is a plan of the wolf, as Jesus says. We all have seen this on television and natural documented hunt of a predator. They have to separate one animal from one herd. Once the wolf separates the prey, they can run the animal into the ground and kill their dinner. So it's with the humans, the accuser longs to separate his family from the church and from their believers. The enemy's purpose is to steal, kill, and ultimately destroy you and me. The final fourth point is the word is my offering. It hits us once again with words of action. To bring our tithes into the house of God is to help supply the needs of the kingdom of God. Let us listen to the prophet Malachi and read what he penned. "Well, a man robbed God, yet he had robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, or you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. For you will be delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Reread Malachi again and look at the benefits of bringing into your tithe. Listen, God does not send you a bill bring with joyful heart your tithe. When we rob the Lord of the tithe and the offering, there is a curse. Go ahead and try the curses. Once upon a time, I tried the curses and did not like it. I want to live in the blessing. So when we bring the tithes, we bless the house of God. The house of God is our Father's business, and we are invited to partake in the family business. When I tithe, the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing where He will not be able to receive it. Bring it on. Now the greatest benefit of all, God will rebuke the devourer for our sake. The Lord never sends us a bill in which we have to pray or give up our money to the church. We are to bring our tithes into the house of God's gladness. Zephaniah 3:11. And that day you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For that I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. Once again, Zephaniah pens a very important message from the Lord. Even through the message was the people's thousands of years ago, it's still relevant for us today. The Lord's heart is once again revealed to us. With true repentance comes restoration of our heart to the Father's God's heart and no more shame. So listen, do I hear you? I hear an amen from you? No more shame, powerful promise from the Lord. First point is shame. And it means the painful feeling arising from the conscience of something dishonorable, improper, and ridiculous. Story time. I was deep in my merry mud of life and ready to end my life. My first marriage was over. My first two daughters died in a car accident, and I was living with my mom and dad, living room floor. Suicide was on my mind and was really ready to end it all. On top of those thoughts, I was in physical pain from massive headaches both day and night. These headaches were troubling my mind, my body, and my spirit. I wanted to end it all in this daily torment. For 3 weeks, living with these headaches troubled me to the point I could not even think straight. The nights were dark, and I was alone in pain, and I finally looked up towards heaven in the stillness of the night. I heard a voice challenge me. What if God is real? Looking up to Jesus, and Jesus entered my merry mud, and he entered into my heart. That night was July 4th. The 1986, where it was the day of my independence, finding peace, rest, and my flesh was free even in my spirit. The mud of abandonment, rejection, death, shame, and guilt, yet the Lord came down to where I was only to bring me to a higher ground. Jesus wants to take us from bad to good, from good to better. This is the great master plan of God. He comes down to eat with us, and then if you let him, Jesus will bring you a higher ground to eat with him in the castle. Jesus will help you walk on a narrow road which leads to life abundantly. So let us take a deeper look at the idea of no more shame. In this verse, in the Hebrew language, it means no more blushing, bowing your head down in disgust, not to be disappointed anymore. In Proverbs, King Solomon writes, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." As you can read for yourself, there's a great reward for wise, and wise will inherit God's glory. And the fools have a long-term legacy of shame. This was the direction I was going to inherit when I carried my own personal shame. There is coming a time when you need to make a choice in the direction you want to travel. You can continue to lead yourself into more and more shame, or you can ask the Lord to come down into your life. Once he comes down, then you can make another choice to follow him out of your merry mud. Again, King Solomon writes, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones." As you recall, I was in the middle of a divorce. My first wife ran off with my money, my car, my furniture. She left me with my adopted children. She had become rottenness in my bones. When my first wife left me, she left my mother's cooking recipes, and yet I was the main cook in the house. My four adopted children and I had nothing but clothes on our backs. She had bankrupted my human spirit. The shame I was trying to carry was draining life from me. There is hope in everyone when you release your shame into Jesus' hands of love. Matthew writes the following, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. For your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The drawing on this chapter is heading was inspired from the verses of Matthew, "Laying down my shame, my transgressions, and the spirit of death, and this gained me a heart which wanted to rejoice." This brings me to the next concept found in our select text. Second point is transgress, which in the Hebrew language means follow and rebel and to turn away from God. Story time. When I turned 12 years old, my dad and I attended a class on gun safety. Learning all about gun safety was awesome, and I thoroughly loved it. Another thing I was instructed about was looking for signs on trespassing. We learned to obey those signs. The following Saturday, my dad and I went bird hunting. I was handed a shotgun. Dad placed an empty can on the fence post. Dad said, "Son, the shotgun has a great recoil or kick, so hold it firmly into your shoulder. listen to the instructions, I squeeze off a round, big kickback, loud, noisy, but I hit the can, and it was also exciting. Story time continued. When I was in boot camp, okay, for the Army, they handed me an F-16, no problem. I was a seasoned hunter. They placed an image of a man 100 yards away, and I nailed it with 59 bullets. The next thing they did was take me aside, and they tried to encourage me to become a paratrooper sniper. Okay, a paratrooper, no, I'm shooting at someone, then someone might be shooting back. I declined the offer. While in boot camp, I found a man who jumped in the fence with the red no trespassing. He jumped the fence, and the farmer came out and shot him. The shotgun was loaded with rock salt. His back was covered with festering wounds from the rock salt. The rock salt broke the skin and embedded under his flesh. The judge in his case gave him the option of jail or the military. Can you guess what he chose? Transgress is a different type of sin. It's serious. The root problem is sin. Sin separates us from the Lord. Hence, transgress is a big deal to God. Transgress means you know what is right and you turn and go in the opposite direction. When we are separated from the Lord, excuse me, when we are separated from the Lord, we feel uneasy, no peace, torment, and even anxiety. Many times it's the root of our lack of sleep. The evil one knows how to separate you from the safety of the flock. The evil one has to separate us from the good shepherd. When the evil wolf has successfully separated you from the flock, he can then run you down and kill you. This is the evil one's strategy to devour you and me too. Third point is rejoice. The verse, as we read it in context about those who have spoken against you at the time of the plotting evil against you, they rejoice. God says he will be your vindicator. Many of us want to take matters into our own hands, but the word of God is clear about letting the Lord defend us. Run to the Lord and put your trust in him. Let the great I am defend your cause. The Lord Jesus is truth. He sends the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth, and then the Lord knows the real truth. Trust him to vindicate or defend you. Story time again. One morning I awoke and my spirit was troubled from the prior day. A staff member where I worked lied about me to my new superiors. Running to the Lord, and the Lord reminded me of the people's presence. The Lord said to document this incident, writing down yesterday's events, and made me mad. But the Lord told me to write the truth, nothing more, nothing less. The Lord guided me to have my wife edit this formal grievance. After adding the grievance, I reported this to my superiors. Nothing happened. 2 weeks later, the co-worker who lied to me quit. This is letting the Lord vindicate and defend you. You will find the Lord is more than able to stand with you in his truth. The Holy Spirit reminded me of the scripture. No weapons formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue rises against you in judgment. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness for me, says the Lord. What is troubling you and your house? Trust in the Lord to fight your battles. The only thing each of us has to do is seek the Lord for his answer. Work his plan of wisdom, and the Lord will make you look good. No longer be haughty. Haughty is not a word we use much today. The original Hebrew meaning of this word is follows arrogant, lofty attitude, and prideful. Pride is what caused Satan and a third of his angels to be cast out of heaven. The sin of pride causes every believer trouble. Each of us must approach the Lord and humble us. When we worship the Lord, we lift his name higher and higher because he is the Lord of God, Almighty God. And King of Kings, Rose of Sharon, the first and the last of our Redeemer, our healer, the one who was and is coming back. Pride is a surefire way to run into many problems. Have you had problems with pride in the past? Ask the Lord to take your pride and wash it in the blood, okay, the perfect one. The Apostle Paul penned, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, so also shall he reap. For he sows his flesh, will the flesh reap corruption? But he sows the spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Well, this ends our sermon for today. Okay, I hope you enjoyed it. Okay. So, let us pray. Lord, oh God, we thank you that throughout our lives you continue to renew your Spirit in us, Lord. We thank you that your Spirit enables us to understand Jesus Christ and to follow him all our days on earth. Bless us and let the revelation of your Spirit come to the world, to all people of all nations, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in each heart, Lord. But there must be still punishment for the sin, Lord. For the sake of justice, Lord, the world must suffer punishment through judgment, Lord. For you, Almighty God, our Lord, and not even Satan, the prince of this world, can act against your will. You will carry out your will through the Holy Spirit. Our task is simply to follow Jesus all of our days. This shall be your joy, the priceless gift of following the Lord Jesus. So praise to your name that we have him and his witness in the gospel every day. Praise to your name that every day, even throughout great distress, we can joyfully follow him in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this brings me down to the most important question of all. And that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of living the way you are, not knowing which way is up or down? Your days are confused, you're lost but needing to be found. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from an addiction such as alcohol, drugs, gambling, overeating, sexual immorality. Whatever it may be, see, the Lord Jesus can take it away. But in order for him to do so, folks, guess what? He's got to know you. So I ask you, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ today? And so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long, I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins at Calvary and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior today. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's play some more music. Thank you. Bye-bye.